You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
We brought you damn good beer, and now we're delivering to you damn good beef. Hassel Cattle Company is the absolute best source for farm-to-table Wagyu beef in the country. Hassel Cattle Company is a fourth-generation cattle farm out of Texas. They ship all over the beautiful USA and straight to your door. They call their beef the blue-collar Wagyu. Why? Because it's the best damn Wagyu that every man or woman can afford. Hassel Cattle Company offers Wagyu smoked sausage, New York strip, beef bacon, Wagyu Frank, two jerky flavors, original and sweet and spicy, and their hamburger even won the Food Network's Northeast Burger Jam. Not only do we love their beef, the country loves their beef. Everybody wants to get in on this. These guys take their registered bulls and breed them with Angus cows, giving you that very high prime product that is grown with zero antibiotics or hormones. So head to HasselCattleCompany.com, that's H-A-S-S-E-L-L CattleCompany.com, and use promo code DNVR10 for 10% off your order, plus any orders over $200 get you free shipping. Again, use code DNVR10. Check them out today, and we promise you will not be disappointed. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. And our DraftKings pick of the week, the Avs coming up to an elimination game. We've talked a lot about how Nathan MacKinnon needs to do more. Take him for a multi-point game. We're going at least 2 points for Nathan MacKinnon in game six with the Avs back against the wall. They need him to show up, otherwise it might not be very pretty. So that's who I'm going with, Nathan MacKinnon, to have at least a two-point night in Game 6. Head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook to get those amazing odds and odds boosts every single day.
I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Haefeli. As some good news for the Avalanche today, as I guess you can call it good news. It's not bad news, that's for sure. Cale Makar nominated for the Norris Trophy. Not too much of a surprise. Nominated alongside Victor Hedman and Adam Fox. Clearly a regular season that was fantastic from Makar. I think the only thing people had as a knock against him as far as Norris contention was availability, I should say. He did miss a handful of games again this year, but in the regular season, he was money as far as the defense is concerned. So let me get your thoughts on it, AJ. Do you think he actually has any chance to win it?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think he's ahead of Adam Fox pretty handily, or is that a close race as well? I really don't know.
I know that there are some voters that I've talked to who have him ahead of Fox.
and some that don't.
And some that don't. Yeah.
So could be a pretty interesting mix of votes when you throw Hedman in there as well. A lot of spread around first place votes, perhaps. So we could see how that all ends up. Yeah, Makar, interesting. I'm trying to remember the last time someone as young as Makar was a Norris finalist, and I can't off the top of my head. I'm sure there's, you know, if you go back far enough, you'll find someone, but probably a lot of years of Norris contention ahead, to say the least, as far as Kale is concerned.
Yeah, this should be, I mean, this should be looked at as it's a huge, step in a different direction for the voting block itself.
Yep.
Because typically the Norris has been treated kind of like the Selke has, where you have to get a reputation first and then the voters will take you seriously. So I think that Kyle Makar in his second year, Adam Fox in his second year, as 2/3 of the finalists, we have sophomore players.
Yep.
As finalists for this trophy, shows that the war against analytics is being lost by the dinosaurs.
Yep.
Because Kyle Makar and Adam Fox are not at the top of they're not the slam dunk finalists
that they were. Sure. Yeah.
Without the analytics backing up just the fact that they are point producers.
Yep.
If there weren't the analytics backing all those guys up there, there's no way they would be getting the votes. And I think that that's a great change. That's a more educated voting block. It's a voting block that is digging deeper into the information that's available to it. And we don't have as many of these Drew Doughty lifetime achievement things happening, right? Because that was a pretty controversial vote that year.
Yeah.
And it was like the last stand of the eye test versus analytics. Because since then, there's been a pretty healthy slew of analytics heavy guys. So I think that I think that's positive. I like that change. Both guys are absolutely deserving. Victor Hedman was not. He should not be a finalist.
You don't think so?
No, he did not have the year that people pretend that he did. He's been awesome in the postseason, though, and so it's like,
okay. Who do you put there instead of Hedman then?
There were a number of guys. I think you could have, Charlie McAvoy, I think, would have been a really good one. Shea Theodore would have been a really good one. Dougie Hamilton, I think, would have been a really good candidate as well. So there were a number. This was actually a great Norris field. I'm really curious to see how close the voting is, 1 to 10, because I think this will be a year where a lot of guys got a lot of votes. Chychrun would have been a fun. I think Chychrun would have been more like a 4-5 guy for me, more than a finalist.
I don't see how you can put Chychrun ahead of Hedman.
If you dig into underlyings,
I get all that.
But they were not good. And he's not even during the regular season, he wasn't even taking on top competition.
I get it. I do.
Like, but he was essentially on their second pairing. And I'm like, how are you going to have that guy be a Norris finalist when that's the case? But the same argument could be made for Kyle Makar. He wasn't always taking on top competition. So, you know.
That's tough. It's always tough when there aren't clear, quantifiable, use these statistics to pick this award, right? But
yeah, well, and the Norris is always one of the more controversial ones where everybody likes to dunk on the voting block and be like,
sure,
these guys are all idiots. And it's like, okay. First of all, awards voting is really hard. If you had to sit down with a blank slate and say, okay, who am I voting for these different awards? And you don't have like outside anything to tell you who you should be voting for, it's really hard.
No doubt about it. I mean,
because you're like, I mean, you're trying to, you're taking an entire league of 600 players and picking five guys for these awards. So and honestly, the fact that the as many players, certain players get as many votes as they do, and that people really kind of like come to a consensus. I think that they are influenced by knowing what other people are going to vote for a lot of these awards.
Yeah.
Because it's just human nature. But it would be interesting if people did a fully, like, blacked out, I don't know what anybody else is doing for it. Nobody writes midseason awards articles. Nobody does any of this crap, right? Nobody talks about it on Twitter. Nobody does any of that. And voters have to just like put themselves in like a vacuum and be like, okay, these are the only guys that I am voting for. I'm not talking to any other voters. I'm not soliciting help. This is my ballot.
Well, I think it's incredibly tough in a year like this too, right? Some years you have an Erik Karlsson who scores a point per game and it's like, all right, that dude ran away with it, whatever.
This year is definitely tougher because you're not watching the other divisions.
One, that. Two, no one completely separated themselves. So not only is picking one hard, but you get into your third place, fourth place, fifth place vote, and you're splitting hairs on guys.
Yeah.
And it could go any different number of ways at that point.
Well, and that's where I think the really interesting things would come about. It wouldn't be in the first or second place. It would be third through eight, right?
Yep.
If you don't have a knowledge of all the other guys that people are going to be voting for, you could really put together a ballot. Just be like, okay, here's what I put together based on my criteria. It's one reason why you always see like the analytics dudes put out what people think are hot takes for their ballots. And it's like, look, they just use their methodology that they always use. They just don't listen to any kind of peer pressure, any of their colleagues that are saying, oh, this should be the guy.
Yep.
So I think that leads to more interesting stuff. Makar getting there, I think, is great. I think he has a legitimate chance to win it. I think he's the only guy that has the only Avs nominee that we'll see this year.
You don't think anyone else will get any votes?
Oh, I would not be surprised if Devon Toews and Sam Girard got down ballot votes.
Fourth, fifth place type of vote. Yeah.
If they end up on the ballot somewhere, you know, they'll end up with a 13th place finish because they got two fifth place. Right.
They end up with 2 points or whatever.
Yeah. And I think that's totally possible that somebody would look at the numbers and put those guys there. But I think Makar has the best chance of Colorado's likely. I'm kind of expecting MacKinnon to be a token third Hart finalist. But
zero chance of actually winning it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, of course. There's no way. And like, you can't even make a coach. You can't make an argument on planet Earth for MacKinnon over either Matthews or McDavid this year.
Yeah,
that should be the easiest 1-2 ever. Like,
yeah. I don't. You're actually just trolling if you didn't pick McDavid to win the league. Like,
it really does. It really would feel like you're that guy, knowing that they're going to be put out there in public, that it's like, well, I'm going to get all kinds of attention for this.
Yep. That's exactly what it would feel like. Yeah. So
there was a baseball writer a couple of years ago who did that during a Hall of Fame vote, and a radio program asked him to come on and talk about it. And he called in, and as soon as they brought it up, he hung up on them.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was like, bro, you had to know.
You made this vote.
Like, you had to know this was coming.
So.
San Diego Raiders.
They don't have an NHL team yet, but maybe someday. Well, they do have the goals. Anyway, is Is that the fear? Is it the fear this year that all the Avs walk away from it with is at best an individual award or two?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I kind of knew that already, but yeah.
Yeah, of course that's the fear. I mean, the real fear is that they don't even get that. That all these guys finish
that they end up with nothing. Yeah.
And then, you know, and then, all right, another second round exit. Well, they're out of here. You know, well, wow, that was a really intense breakneck pace season that got them nothing. It's true. They get to hang the President's Trophy banner next year.
No matter what.
Yep.
They have that. It is cool.
That's a cool accomplishment, and it's a thing that, I don't know. I think that is a worthwhile team accomplishment.
Yeah, look.
It's hard to win the regular season. Like, it's just hard.
Absolutely. You never want to take achievements away from a hockey team, no matter who it is.
Yeah.
However, I mean, the Avs don't necessarily need to win anything either, though. Like, if this team were to lose in the Cup Finals this year, I don't think, like, obviously the immediate impact of that would hurt.
Yeah, everybody would be disappointed, but it would be like...
But on the whole, you'd be like, that's a really good playoffs, right?
Yeah, I mean... Right now, everybody's focused on getting out of the second round. Everybody's focused on, okay, well, they've got to get out of round two. They've got to get, and that pressure got amped up when they went up 2-0 in a series.
Yep. And now
and now they've lost three games in a row, and you're like, okay, well, this is potentially the biggest. This is the first time that you would really look at them losing in the postseason and say it's a huge disappointment.
Yep.
Because them losing to San Jose, I mentioned this last night, but people putting them all in the same box annoys the shit out of me. Because losing 2 years ago, there wasn't an Avs fan on earth
that expected them to make the second round.
Totally like bummed out and sad about it.
Totally, yeah.
But nobody felt bad about that playoff run.
Correct.
Like, nobody felt bad about it. And then the one last year had all kinds of caveats where you're just like, yeah,
there's a whole lot of nonsense going on there.
You feel bad about it. Like, there are plenty of reasons to feel bad, but, you know, that they were in that position. They were down 3-1. They're missing a ton of guys. Like, there were caveats there. This year, there's none. There's nothing. Like, Nazem Kadri being suspended for this whole series is not enough of a caveat to be like,
you can't point to that and say that's the reason the Avs didn't make
it
if they don't.
Not when Nathan MacKinnon has 1 point.
Yep.
In 4 games. So anyway, we can get to that later. I really just wanted to talk about the Makar stuff because it's a great accomplishment. The Avs have never had a Norris Trophy winner. The fact that he's in his second year and he's already a finalist. There's reason to dream on the guy. There's reason to dream.
Yep.
It's exciting stuff. I don't think it matters for his contract whether or not he wins it or not. There's no way that his agents are going to be able to be like, well, he won the Norris instead of finishing second, so... Yeah. You know, give him an extra $500,000 per year. That stuff will come in the form of a contract bonus.
Yep.
Where he can pick that up individually.
Can dive into that a little bit more in just a second, as we do have to tell y'all about Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can check them out at the DNVR bar or find the hard seltzers. Get the 15-can sampler pack at a local liquor store near you. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to do that. Also, Strava Craft Coffee, found at the DNVR Bar Cold Brew. If you want regular hot brew coffee, you can get that online at StravaCraftCoffee.com and use code DNVR25 on your first checkout to get 25% off. Also, sign up for their subscription service if you love it and get 20% off for life. And, of course, you can always get a DNVR membership, get your big beers down at the bar, get your free shirt, your free mask, all that good stuff that comes with an annual membership, as well as all of our content. So yeah, help support us a little bit. You know, we appreciate all the super chats and stuff as well. Y'all are extremely generous, but DNVR membership, usually the best way to do it. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Rudo and AJ coming at you, talking Cale Makar. Look, the kid is capable of doing things very, very few NHL defensemen are doing.
Mm-hmm. Special player.
Yep. He has the raw ability, the drive, and all that jazz to be able to do it. The only question mark so far through his career has been health. An ability to stay healthy, I guess, should be to be more accurate. Now, the type of injuries we've seen Makar suffer haven't been particularly big worries. It's not like EJ with a knee that can drastically alter the course of someone's career type of things.
Yeah, there haven't been any major injuries.
Yep. So,
knock on wood.
There you go. Knock on some wood there, but that makes you certainly feel quite a bit better about the injuries that he has suffered, but the question mark is still always going to be there until he has a fully healthy season, right?
Yeah. The onus is on him to have a fully you could easily have like the guy misses like 2 games, 3 games.
Yeah,
you know, like the minor things, yeah, where you're like,
you got to play like 75 games out of an 82 game season.
Yeah, so that's where you really want it to be 70 plus every year, yeah, consistently. You'd really like it to be, like you said, 75 plus.
Yep.
But it's up to this point. I mean, it's a fair question.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is us scraping the bottom of the barrel to try and find a nitpick with Cale Makar in the regular season.
Well, it's really like the separating factor here.
Yep.
Kind of like in the NBA MVP this year, where Jokic ran away with it because he was the only guy who stayed healthy. You know, with Makar, you look at him and he's, of all the guys of the candidates, it's like, well, this guy missed a
significantly less.
Yeah, he played, what, like 12 fewer games or something than the other guys? Like, it was a meaningful number of games. It wasn't like he missed a week.
Makar played 44. Fox played 55. Hedman played 54.
Yeah. So, especially in a shortened year, those 10 games are even more important.
Yep.
So, it's, you know, I get it. I think that's probably the reason why he won't win it this year. Why? I will say I'm not personally expecting him to win it. I think he has a good chance to. I think the voting is going to be close.
Yeah, I, for all three of them, I know you're not a big believer in thinking Hedman should be up there, but I'm sure he'll get a lot of votes.
Him being a finalist was not surprising to me. My personal feelings aside, I just, you know, the way that the voters are, it's very easy to take last year's guy who's on a great team who had a great year and just be like, oh, he was so good this year.
Yeah, that's,
yeah, sure he was.
To pick the defending champ is never hard, but
yeah,
it's in Makar's case, I think it's interesting. You kind of already talked about how they picked Fox and Makar as finalists this year, guys in their second year and moving towards that.
Yeah.
But is there, at least in Makar's case, it does feel like he came into the league and immediately garnered that reputation. I mean, you'll remember he finished 9th in Norris voting in his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which was a big deal last year. It was like a thing that people talked about. Normally, you don't see very much attention paid to the down ballot guys, but there were a lot of people who were like, Cale Makar finished 9th. Like, he coming for this thing.
Yep.
And this year, he's a finalist. And next year, he's got an 82 game slate to get all up on people
and win himself some hardware for sure.
Yeah.
So
Adam Fox gonna have to up that point per game pace.
Yeah, not gonna cut it in the 82 game season.
Yeah, he's gonna need a couple more of those 5-point nights to help really boost his numbers.
Yep. living off the big games, I suppose. But let me look. Yeah, so Makar led all defensemen with 1 point per game in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And then next was Tyson Barrie at 0.86.
His market is this year.
Yeah, that's going to be a pretty interesting thing because he's certainly, after a down year in Toronto, he went to Edmonton and basically did his thing with the big guns out there. So someone's going to pay him some decent money.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of who and where. Vancouver's always in that conversation with him, but
Seattle has to lurk.
Definitely true. Short little drive up to Vancouver for Barrie as well there.
Exactly.
So
anyway,
a different conversation.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Cale Makar in these playoffs. I know we talked about it a little bit on the other night show that he did not play well in game five.
I think I mentioned last night that there was a caveat to that.
Sure.
That all of his frustrations were in the offensive end because they didn't play in the defensive end much last night.
Sure.
When Makar was on the ice. And then you go and you look at the shot metrics.
And they're like, great. Yeah.
And like I even said on the show, he's going to have great shot metrics because all of our frustrations were offensively.
Yeah.
So when we were saying like he played poorly, it's relative.
You have to put it in context for sure. Yeah.
It's not he played poorly compared to a teammate. He played poorly versus his own ability level.
What people know that he's capable of, sure.
Defensively, he was nails last night. He was just fine. I had no complaints. But it was all the things with the puck where you're like, dang it.
Yeah.
That's a missed opportunity. That's a shot on goal. That's a scoring chance. That's a missed opportunity. I mean, look at the one power play they got.
Yep.
Like, arguably the most exciting thing that happened on that thing was when he broke through the defense and then lost the edge as he was trying to go around the net.
Yep. Did 80% of the work and then nothing came of it.
Yeah. And like, I'm not going to crush the guy for that.
No, of course not.
like last night was a huge step forward from anything that anybody did in the
game three and four. Yeah, for sure. It was significantly better. And Makar is, I think something we've alluded on through this series is people forget that he's only 22.
He's a monster.
He's not in his prime yet, and some inconsistency in play is to be expected from a player like that.
Yeah, and look, if he was 22 and this was his fourth year, you'd look at him a little different,
sure.
A la Sam Girard.
Yep.
But 22 and just finishing up his second season, he has, and look, his two NHL regular seasons have been abbreviated. He's got like 100 games played.
Yep.
So it feels like he's been around forever.
But
it's hard to keep in mind. Like he's still so young.
Yep.
He's figuring it out.
This is only
he's gonna have those he's gonna ride that roller coaster, right? Like he's and when he gets a little bit older, he's going to smooth that out. We're going to see more game one performances. Not tons of them in a playoff series, because if a defenseman's having 4 points a night in the playoff series,
something ridiculous is happening. Yeah.
He's like the greatest defenseman of all time, without question. Yeah. So, but smoothing it out a little bit, would you rather have 1 4-point game or would you rather have 4 1-point games right now?
5 4-1-point games, obviously.
But yeah. So I think that would have been.
And to be fair, Makar had a point in game two. He had a point in game three.
Yeah. Yeah, those were like
very like, much secondary freebie-ish but, points, but yeah.
Resident had a point last night.
Yeah. Okay, but.
Yeah. You're like, okay, what did he do? Was he even on the ice when Saad threw that puck at the net?
Yeah. So it's the way it goes sometimes, but for sure. It consistency is just something that it separates the greatest players from the very, very good players, right?
Well, it's, to be honest, just to tie this into the MacKinnon conversation, it's what had made MacKinnon in the postseason so special.
Yep.
Because he was just, I mean, last year he scored in every game but one.
Yep.
Now everybody could get all up in arms about the one that he didn't, but every game but one.
Now he
has the scored. Abs had if the Abs had that this year, if he'd scored in every game, this series would be over.
Yep. He hasn't scored in three straight now against Vegas.
Yeah. And his one assist was on the overtime goal.
Yep. And you throw away
on the
game,
power play.
You can throw away game four, but you look at game three, if he scores in that, they very likely win.
Yep.
You look at, obviously, last night, if he scores in that, they almost certainly win.
Yep.
And he's the man, right? He's the guy.
Yep.
Where when the Avs need something, that's the dude you're looking at. And there's no, he hasn't scored in three games. It doesn't change anything. There's no magic recipe for the Avs to work around MacKinnon not doing the thing. In game six, they're going to go right back to him and say, hey, this time actually do the thing, please.
Yeah.
So.
Look, reality is if he goes off in game six and seven, we aren't talking about them.
Yeah. But,
we're not talking about any of that. If they find a way to win the series, it'll be because Nathan MacKinnon drives them there.
He figured it out.
Exactly. And if they go on to lose the series, it'll be because Nathan MacKinnon failed to drive them there. Like, you win and you lose with your best players. All this talk about depth scoring and, oh, they need a consistent scoring threat on your second line or something. And it's like, if you had consistent scoring on your second line, that guy wouldn't be on your second line.
That'd be your top line if they scored consistently.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of the reality of it. We can get a little bit more into this conversation with MacKinnon and potentially game six, but do have to tell you guys about DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. When you sign up with the DNVR code right now, they are still giving you the $1 for $100 offer. Bet on any NBA team to win their next playoff game. If they win, you turn $1 into $100 of site credits. Super easy to get in there and get yourself a bunch of money to play with over on DraftKings. Once you get the $100, they of course have odds boosts every single day on all sorts of awesome sports, so you can get good value no matter what you end up betting on. They're also safe, secure, and reliable. Super easy to deposit and withdraw at your convenience. So check them out today. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. You can bet right from your phone. Super easy. Great to do that for the live betting, especially. You have the game on, you just pull up your phone, you say first pitch strike, and you get yourself some money. Trust me, it works.
It's true.
Get in there, get your $100 for $1 bet in basketball again with the promo code DNVR for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Wager paid out and site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Also brought to all of you beautiful people by Chevalier Mortgage. Both Mike and Virginia have been in the business for an extremely long time. You can check them out at dnvrmortgage.com and get yourself signed up for not just a free consultation, but your chance to win some free DNVR merch as well. Rates are fantastic right now. I've been looking a little bit myself. You can get a great rate, but Mike is also a certified financial planner. So they'll get you more than a great rate. They'll get you exactly what you need when it comes to your entire financial picture. Head over there. They'll take care of you. They'll walk you through everything. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit them again at dnvrmortgage.com. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006, Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631. And certainly not least, but coming in at last, is Green Mountain Dental Group, the best dentist in the Denver metro area. We are brought to you by them. They're one of our longer-term guys. They've been here forever, so show them some love. When you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you can get a free Sonicare toothbrush from them. We've had tons of people switch for everything from wisdom teeth removal to just standard checkups, and they take great care of all y'all. All of y'all have come in and said they do a great job. So check them out today if you need some tooth work done. Let's get into this third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast, again brought to you by that DraftKings Sportsbook. While you're at it, be sure to like and subscribe to the video here on YouTube. Always helps us out a bunch. Appreciate all y'all sticking with us, even when the Avs are on the ropes a little bit here. AJ, is Game 6 really that simple? Is it just Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makars of the world need to show up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's going into the series, that's what's separated the two teams. And you can see that's very clearly what has separated them. This series has three games that have finished with a 3-2 final score.
Yep.
And if the Avs get that third goal in those two games in which their top line didn't score, then
the series is over.
The series is finished.
Yep.
Like, wouldn't be sitting here. So, I think it's that simple, man. You ride with your stars. Who scored the game-winning goal last night? It's Mark Stone.
Yep.
You know, outside of Jonathan Marchessault having a great series, having the series that Andre Burakovsky is not, it's been Max Pacioretty. You know, like their stars have been there.
Been the difference makers for sure.
Yeah.
I can't disagree, and it's a weird.
I'll clarify. At even strength is my issue because they have been
good on the power play. Sure. Yeah.
Whatever. Although the power plays have gotten less and less.
The refs have just decided to stop calling them. Basically,
there won't be any penalties tomorrow.
It'll be a completely penalty-less. Yeah.
It'll be 60 minutes of 5-on-5.
Yeah, definitely true. I saw this question, so we'll sidetrack for 2 seconds on it. The Benjamin Tardif signing.
Yeah.
By the Avs happened.
Cool.
This is the thing the Avs and all NHL teams love to do. No doubt picked up this guy watching Bocage in the queue and said we'd like a piece of that action. So,
yep. I have no thoughts on it. I'm not familiar with him. He's an undrafted late bloomer. I didn't watch any of the Q stuff, so I don't have any opinion on it whatsoever.
No doubt.
He will show up to training camp next year, and we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt someone that whenever the offseason comes, probably can take a little bit of a deeper look into. But
yeah.
For now, there's more important things still going on.
Yeah, that he didn't get an ELC is...
It's definitely weird.
Well, and it's like, how was this offer better than what Montreal or Winnipeg was offering?
Especially when you look at the forward core.
Yeah, like...
The Avs have.
It's... And that the Avs won that with an AHL deal is like...
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Nobody involved in this process wanted to give him an ELC.
I guess.
So I'm not going to. My expectations are not high.
Nor should they be.
Yeah. If he becomes a meaningful player, great.
Your expectations should never be high for late bloomer type signings.
Yeah.
The Alex Kerfoots of the world are very much the outlier when it comes to these type of guys. So yeah, anything you get, you take, obviously, but
yeah.
Well, I mean, getting back onto the topic of game six here,
I genuinely feel good about it, but I have gone all in believing that this team is capable of anything, and I'm just not moving off of that until they're done.
Yep.
And when they're done, then, you know,
yep,
we can have the scorekeepers point and laugh and say, you're stupid and don't know what you're talking about, and I can live with that.
I've planted my flag on that. I think this series was going seven for a minute now, so.
You've been saying it for the last three games, so.
Yeah.
It really would set up perfectly. And it, like karmically, cosmically.
Yep.
for the Avs to be here and for them to, you know, they've been down 3-2 each of the last 2 years, and they've won game six.
They found a way. Yep.
You know, now one of those, they won game six against San Jose at home, and then last year in the bubble.
Yep.
But, you know, this is certainly the greatest challenge. Vegas is better than both of those teams were, and they're going into Vegas's barn. It's a tall task.
It's not easy, but
it's not guaranteed. I can sit here and be like, I feel good about it all I want, but that's a really tough,
yep,
road that they have in front of them.
The Avs could get blown out tomorrow night. We don't know for sure. Anything is on the table. That's why you play the games. But
the Avs
have stepped into a point in the playoffs where one, they now have no other choice. If they lose again, they're done.
Yep.
And two, I think this is the first time you've really had this feeling around this year's team. This team didn't have to battle through the race of, oh, if we lose in the regular season, if we lose this game, they're in trouble of not making the playoffs. They didn't have to battle at worst, the third seed, and realistically, they had the second seed locked up pretty easily this year. They did fight for the first seed and win it, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly, maybe that's a good point. Look at the last regular season game against Vegas, the one that if they lose, they don't get the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
It was
They got outplayed by a 15 skater Vegas team.
It was not a good hockey game, but they found a way to win.
And Philip Grubauer was awesome in that game. And you know what? He needs an awesome game.
No doubt.
Because as much as you don't really fault him for the three goals that got by him last night.
But if he stops one.
One save is the difference.
Yep.
Especially the Tuck one. That one really bugged
me. The first one. Anything that goes through you, right? It never feels great.
Yeah.
But that's the life of a goaltender, right?
Yeah.
You are the last line of defense. Your job is there to do one thing, and that's stop pucks.
Yep. They need the best from him tomorrow. He needs the best from him tomorrow.
Yep. Oh, yeah, and as the chat points out here, Vancouver forced Game 7, Minnesota forced Game 7. Yeah. Sharks, before that, forced a Game 7 coming back from 3-1 down against this team.
Vegas has their own issues. Like, Vegas has had problems closing out series.
It's something worth bringing up here because, yes, obviously we're an Avalanche-based podcast, but there is another hockey team over there.
With their own demons.
That have their own problems, very much so, in the playoffs, whether it be lack of scoring, whether it be game sevens, whether it be whatever you want to pick at it. And obviously, they're feeling good having won three straight games in this series, but it's you have to finish, whether you're Vegas or Colorado. The series comes down to who closes it out, not who won more games in the first five.
Yep.
So,
the same way that the series wasn't over when it was 2-0, it's not over at 3-2.
Yep. Exactly right.
So we'll see. You know, well, I'm excited for it, man. This is when you get to find out.
Yep.
About everybody involved. Everybody's got their own demons. Everybody's got, you know, their personal look in the mirror. And can we pull the best out of me at the time that it matters the most? You know, and there have been bad postseasons from great players before. You know, McKinnon struggling the way that he has is not unlike the way that Joe Sakic struggled in the postseason in 2000.
Yeah.
When he had like 7 points in 19 games or something. Like, just a really lackluster postseason performance from him. And right now, that's what McKinnon is facing. Can he break through? Can he get the best out of himself when his team absolutely has to have it?
If they don't get it, they probably aren't moving on.
Yeah. It's not complicated.
Yeah, I agree. It's tough to talk about it from that front because sometimes it really is that simple. You can get into the X's and O's all you want, but sometimes the dudes just have to do the hockey.
Yeah. It's true.
Anyway, I don't know. Should we just move into final thoughts here on Kale game six? Okay. Hi. Yeah. We see you, but you know, you don't have to spam chat for 5 messages in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
My guy.
What's up, yo?
They really want you to say something to them.
I mean, we did, but also...
Yeah, what up?
Yeah, okay. Well, we noticed him. Whatever. It is. Yeah, exactly. Just do the simple thing. Go get yourself some money with Gabby Insurance. And have the Avs top line show up and do stuff. In any case.
Well said.
So, that it. Just kicking back, gonna enjoy game six, whatever may come.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight's game. Just the one.
Yeah, it's getting down to that time of the year where you only have one game a day.
Yeah, would be great. I think Nassau's gonna be insane. The same way that T-Mobile is gonna be insane tomorrow.
Yep.
So,
gonna be a fun.
Looking
time.
Forward to it. Either way, we're there tomorrow night.
Yep, you can catch us there. We'll be doing some form of watch along during the game for those of you that are making it to the DNVR bar. But might be a fun one to come to the DNVR bar for. That's all I'll say about that.
I think it'll be a good one because it'll either be
joy or team sadness time. The whole bar can console itself.
Yep.
So should be fun either way. Obviously we have you covered no matter how game six goes. We'll have a show Friday. There you go. Hit the like and subscribe. And then hopefully there's a game 7 post game pod coming at you Saturday as well, but we'll cross those bridges when we get there. So thank you for watching, listening, however you consume the podcast. We appreciate all of y'all so very much. We hope to see you back here for the next one until Thursday night, I suppose, which is just tomorrow night. But whatever. We'll talk to you.